Vote, vote, vote. Get out there and nominate your favorite podcasts. The People's Choice Podcast Awards voting is up on the 31st of July, so go to podcastawards.com to nominate the following shows. Writers and Illustrators of the Future podcast in the categories of education and also storyteller drama. The Centralist in the category of politics and news, that's with show host Joe Montaldo. Science and Beyond in the category of science and medicine, also with show host Joe Montaldo. The Outer Realm in the category of society culture, with show hosts Michelle DeRocher and Amelia Pisano. And the Pittsburgh Paranormal Chasing Prophecy in the category of religion and spirituality. There's another category that opened up for us recently, the People's Choice, so please select for this category as well. Go to podcastawards.com to vote for these five shows and any others you enjoy listening to. That's podcastawards.com. And remember, voting ends July 31st, so go ahead and get your votes in.
And we are live on the Red Pill News. How are you guys doing out there all over the world? I love to hear from my international audience. I love to hear from people from all walks of life telling me what's going on, what they're feeling, what they're thinking, man, what they want for the future. I'll tell you this, we're not that different in the world. I mean, you know, we want the same stuff, really, and it's actually pretty simple. I think that the fact that government just loves to control people across the board. And inside of that control, unfortunately, you're in the middle of it, you know, unless you can live outside that machine or get what you can get from it and still be kind of free. You know, I tend to tell my brothers and sisters around the globe, you know, who don't live in a first world nation, that the essence of freedom is making your own choices, you know. And even here in the United States, you know, are we limited in those choices? I still feel that if you dedicate yourself, you can do and be anything. You can climb to any goal that there is because the opportunities are there. In some places, you don't have that. In some places, those nations don't even have a financial base to springboard off of, you know. So, you know, the United States is good for many things. I think it's good for people in many ways. You know, it's a work in progress. And my problem with it is the politicians, you know, and, you know, they're supposed to be representing us, all of us, not talking to certain groups, not labeling people, not saying, oh, you there, you know, you're black, I'm going to do special things for you. Oh, over there, you're transvestite, I'm going to do special things for you too. You know, how about you just equality? And, you know, there are people out there like the transvestite, gay, you know, group and all that, right, is makes up 3.4% of our population, you know, homosexual, gay, whatever, lesbian, whatever, you know, all, whatever people designate themselves as. That's 3.4%. There's people who think that there's a lot more out there that don't fess up because they're in the closet. But let's work off that 3.4%. So there's a larger part of society that doesn't, you know, is not part of that group. But it doesn't really matter because you shouldn't be judging somebody because if they're gay or lesbian or whatever. I don't even know. It's like you can discriminate for yourself. Like, you know, I'm not going to be that way. I'm not that way. Whatever. That's fine. But if people are born a certain way, it just is what it is. And you know, you could take your Bible, like the guy with the cakes, and he didn't want to make a cake for the two gay men because they wanted to be two guys on the cake. Let me tell you, man, the price of those cakes, you come in and give me that kind of money, I'll put three gay guys on there. I'll put 40 of them. What do I care? I put a dude with a horse. I don't care. It's about money. Being in business is about money. And when you take your Bible and say, oh, my Bible won't allow me to do that, that's a lie. And the Supreme Court failed inside of that because they didn't argue the right point. The point was argued for the guy making the cakes that it got in the way of his religious beliefs. Therefore, he didn't have to do it. And he didn't have to serve all of the public, and then only a portion of the public, I suppose. But show me in the Bible where it says, thou shalt not make a cake for two gay men. Show me where it says that. You know, I see a lot of part where his Jesus talks about forgiveness, things like that, you know, talks about tolerance. Oh, Jesus sat down with all walks of life and broke bread, didn't he? So whatever, man, if you want to believe people's religious stuff, you want to believe people, they're what they think is ideals is just their very thin, made up belief, right? And their ideals should be love and spreading love. And it's not about being judgmental. Oh, yeah. It says that in the Bible, too, about not to be judgmental. Don't throw stones, all that other stuff. So whatever. This is what I see out there. And there's a struggle going on between people, between men and women, especially, you know, a struggle, right? Inside of the struggle, there is an effort that's getting in the way of people's natural path of relationship. That effort is the media in general, the megalomedia, right? You know, commercials and how they portray people, how they portray men to be weak and women to be strong. I see this one commercial now and then, like, you know, here's these, this woman, like, she's doing all this stuff, you know, she's vacuuming and doing laundry and like all everything that you would do normally, like within a week, she's doing all within this 30-second commercial spot, you know, running, you know, not even breaking a sweat. And then she's doing work and then she's playing the piano. And if you know people, especially, you know, stay-at-home moms or whatever, or women who work. My mom worked and supported two children, you know, and, you know, she worked two jobs at times to do that. And you know, it's not as, you know, like in the commercials, they portray these, like they're super women. They're doing all these things. And, you know, there was this guy like just flaking off at the pool and this woman like running outside and she's like grilling. And if you know anything about men grill. You know, I don't know any women that grill. I don't think I know any women that grill, period. You know, grilling is kind of a guy thing. So the commercials are bull crap. They show men as being weak and these women as being strong. Nothing wrong about showing strong women. You know, my mom was one of them. There's nothing wrong about showing strong women. And you take away from people like that by belittling or putting an emphasis on somebody who, you know, clearly doesn't do all that work within 30 seconds. You know, I like to watch this, this Hamptons camera. It's the only thing I can afford about the Hamptons is for me to sit and watch their camera online and people going to the beach. That's how pathetic my life is sometimes. So, but I like hearing the waves crash. I like hearing the seagulls, man, you know, and you see these people out there, you know, during the week and on weekends, mainly it's women taking their kids out there, frolicking around in the sun. You know, they showed up in a car that costs at least $100,000 or more. It is the Hamptons, you know. And then most likely the house they go back to is worth at least $1 million. These are local beaches where you have to be a resident of that place to get on them. So, you know, basically, it's just, you know, these aren't the people who are doing all the work. These aren't the people. These are people who monkey branched up to whatever they got, and that's where they are. And it doesn't look like they have to work very hard if they're going to the beach all the time. And you see the same people going to the beach, like, during the week. And I watch it enough where I can tell, which is kind of creepy. I'm, like, stalking people in the Hamptons from their camera, you know. I'm not the only one, man, you know, but it just says something to me that there's a part of the politically correct society that wants to destroy people's relationships. They want to overstate roles or understate roles so people think they're not getting a fair deal, you know. And then there's no better place to see this than out there in the world. I mean, I love these stories. Here's one, the Washington Post. You know, really, it's really probably the newspaper is good for putting down for like puppies or something or dogs and they're going to poop on your floor. You know, I don't read the Post normally. And I like that. And there's a reason. This is the reason because they are putting the emphasis on three women. I'll read you the headline first. Three women discovered they were dating the same man. They dumped him and went on a months-long road trip together, right? So they're going to tell it from the angle of, here's these three chicks, and we're going on the road. You know, the only thing they have in common is this dude, right? And I was like skimming through the story. I'm like, I feel like this guy's my hero in a way. Because it's very difficult to manage that kind of time. One woman's demanding enough. Two, three. You have to be very well organized, man. Believe me when I say, very well organized to handle something like that. And obviously, the guy got busted. So, but it's funny anyway. Anyway, here it is. Three young women are touring the West together this summer, united by something they never imagined they'd have in common: a penis. They all had the same cheating boyfriend at the same time. I do know a woman who dated 10 dudes for 10 years at varied times, but 3, 4, 5 at a time. Yeah. So it's not just the guys out there that do it. You know, it takes all kinds. I'll just say that. That's my little disclaimer, right? Instead of feeling bitter about their discovery, Abby Roberts, 19 years old, of Salt Lake City, and Becca King, 18 years old, and Morgan Tabor, 21 years old, who both live in Boise, Idaho. See, he was smart, too. He had divided up Salt Lake City over there, Boise, Idaho over there. Although the two in Boise, I don't know, man. Boy, it's a big place, but not a lot of people. All right. So they said they decided the best way to cope was just to move on. In a 30-year-old school bus that they bought and renovated themselves for over 2.5 months. So the three girls bought a bus. I'll guarantee they probably each had two guys, like the friend zone simps, they call it, right? Hanging out, working on the bus, you know, putting all kinds of new, we're not going to let you go on the road by yourselves without being in a safe bus. You can hear it. You can hear it, right? These girls aren't mechanics, you know. When they say they renovated the bus, they probably kind of just put some stuff up, you know what I mean? And all right, so the trio hit the road almost a month ago and are currently camped in Bozeman, Montana. If you're looking for some single girls, I mean, they're out there. Look for some funky bus. Right, where they're hiking, they're taking in nature, they're sharing a lot of laughs, they're documenting their adventure on Instagram. There you go, they have an Instagram fan page. The three amigas, they called it the Bam Bus, the Bam Bus, which they named after each of their first initials. Really, Bam, Bam, Bam. We're living our dream life, having a blast, Tabor said. It's incredible to think like it happened because of him. The trio's unexpected friendship started last December around the holidays when Tabor had a suspicious feeling about her boyfriend. They had dated on and off for several years. Several years? She's 19 years old. How could it be with several years? Several, what, seven? That's pretty weird. But dating since we're 12. But at that point, they had agreed to date exclusively, or she did. He didn't. Here's a picture of her. She noticed that her boyfriend, a 20-year-old college student who lives down the street from her parents' house in Boise, was texting several women, receiving flirty comments on his social media posts. She said, I had this uneasy feeling that I couldn't shake, so I looked up one of the girls' names on Instagram, said Tabor, who works at an organic produce company, of course, where all brainiacs work. What she discovered shocked her. Ah! Almost all of the photos of this girl's page showed her with the guy who I thought was my boyfriend, she said. Tabor contacted the woman on Instagram, and she was equally stunned. Ah! She said the two dug further and found Roberts, a Utah State University student and artist whose name they spotted on their busy boyfriend's social media account. When Morgan contacted me, it was the most insane feeling. Ah! Said Roberts, who has been dating her Boise beau since Halloween of last year, in a relationship she believed was exclusive. This guy had literally slept at my house the night before, kissed me goodbye, and said he was driving back to Boise from Utah to visit his family. Instead, he turned up at Tabor's house in the middle of her long FaceTime chat with Roberts. Oh, busted. We were talking, and I suddenly heard his car outside, and he came to the door with flowers. Hey, look here. Those guys, my hero. Hey, look here, she recalled telling him. I've made some new friends. Oh, man, that feeling. That feeling in the pit of your stomach when they got to find out who you are. Ah, you've been outed. Time to skedaddle. Then I heard the flowers hit the ground. His car peeled out. No, see now, without even reading further, I'm going to tell you, a dude like that is going to kind of downplay it, you know? Who are you talking to? Who's that? All right, I don't know. Watching his face drop when he saw who I was talking to on FaceTime was the most cinematic moment ever. There you can tell they're college students. She's probably a film student. Cinematic. Their boyfriend tried to convince them that there was nothing wrong with dating more than one woman at a time. There you go. Pa-dum-pom. But neither of them bought it, or none of them bought it. And after he left, we did some more research, and they said they found at least 6 women he'd been seeing. 6! So he's got the 3. Is that 6 on top of the 3? I want to know the math here, man. 6. The dude's got a libido, man. You know? How do you think he does? You think it's those energy cocktails at the supermarket? I see those things when I'm checking out of the store. Energy. 5-hour energy. I feel like if I had one, it would give me a freaking heart attack. Espresso is my life's blood. It's actually in my blood, I believe. Okay. One of them was King, who started dating. They should have got all 6 girls on the bus, man. Then it could be the bang bus going down the rope, whatever their initials are. Stop it. All right. Just 2 hours after he'd been confronted by Morgan and Abby. You know, people get this. Abby used to be like A-B-B-E-Y, A-B-B-Y. This one's A-B-I. They have to be special. I don't know. People went through that phase naming their kids after numbers. 7, you know, whatever. 2 hours after he'd been confronted by Morgan and Abby and told them he was going to become a changed man. He was messaging me asking to hang out. Really? I'm different now. You know that song by Henry Rollins, Liar. Good, you liar. And then this chick works as a medical receptionist. I was shocked, as anyone, to find out what he'd been up to. It turned out they said that he had talked with all 3 women about their future together. The 3 women, you know, I mean, it is really Utah kind of, you know, Idaho, but you got the Mormons and they believe in having all those wives, all that, even though they said they don't do that anymore, but they certainly still do it. So see, like, it's kind of normal out there for a guy to play that angle. Like, it's okay to have 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. I know it's weird if you're anywhere else, but Utah, but that's, or West Virginia. I mean, we'll throw in West Virginia. Nothing spells loving like marrying your cousin. In West Virginia. All right, so it turned out all 3 women agreed it was time to dump him, right? So he'll have to go back to his other 12 or whatever he's got going on. The boyfriend, when reached by the Washington Post said, "There are two sides of everything, man, but I think the best thing right now to do is say nothing." Oh, you know, the guy's father was like, "Don't you say a goddamn word to them Washington Post people." Oh, my God. Solemn advice. Best thing to do right now is say nothing. He spoke briefly in a phone interview on the condition, but that his name not be used. "I really don't want anything to do with them anymore. You know, since they found me out, I don't want them." the women who asked his name not to be published, the women also asked his name not to be published, saying it was not their goal to shame him publicly or harm his reputation. Rather, they said they want to focus to be on their bond instead of his betrayal. You see, now, that's the sisterhood. You can never get in the way of the sisterhood. If there's two women fighting or two women as adversaries, the last thing you want to do is get in between any of that. I don't care if they're sisters. I don't care if they're friends. I don't care if they're mother and daughter. Doesn't matter. That's my advice. Don't get involved. Don't even offer up any information. Don't say a word. Don't even go, "huh," or "mm-hmm." Nothing. No acknowledgement, nothing positive, nothing negative, nothing, right? Nothing. So anyway, all these women provided text messages and social media posts to verify their account. It was also corroborated in an interview. So congratulations, Washington Post. You broke a huge story. You nabbed a guy that had six girlfriends. Huge, man. You know what I mean? I think that deserves one of those awards, Pulitzer Prize or something. I don't know. Something. Amazing. With all this no news going on, they cracked it, man. So each of the women coped with their breakups by texting and FaceTiming each other for several months. You know, Tabor said, then in January, they all decided to meet for a weekend at Robert's apartment. "We did a lot of trauma processing and memory sharing." Trauma. Listen to this. "We did a lot of trauma. Oh my God, I'm a victim. Oh my God, we had to process trauma because we shared the same penis." A lot of trauma. Listen to the drama. Drama. They should have said we did a lot of drama processing and memory sharing. "It was obvious that we were all really cool, fun people who had a lot in common." The guy had good taste in girls, right? Let's see. "Right away, we became good friends. This guy had told each of us that it was his dream to pick up a VW bus and travel around the country in it. We were sitting around laughing and talking about the van life that weekend, and pretty soon we thought, hey, we can do this. We all had a free summer coming up, and I knew a guy who could sell me an old bus," Tabor said. "Since we'd all worked really hard and saved our money, we decided, why not?" King said. So they pooled a few $1,000s together. They bought the bus and parked it at King's parents' place while they renovated it. King had experienced helping her dad with construction projects around the house. See, the dad at least got the girl helping around the house, learning something. He's the one who probably did all the work on the bus and whoever else was around. "We watched a few YouTube videos, but a majority of it was pretty straightforward. Becca's dad and my dad helped us." There you go. They were probably happy to put it together just to get them the hell out of the house. "You know, if we build this bus, they'll be driving down the road and bye." Let's see. But beyond all the work that they did on the bus, the two fathers and whoever else helped, they did the rest. They probably went to Bed Bath & Beyond, bought some pillows, right? Some sheets, you know. The trio got together every weekend in Boise to fulfill their vision. We took out the seats and flooring, painted the ceiling, put in new floors, siding, and insulation, and built bunk beds. There you go. That's what the dads did. We, I like the we. In mid-June, just a few days after the bus renovation was finished, the trio filled up the gas tank and headed out to Idaho's Sawtooth Mountains, and then on to Jackson, Wyoming, and the Grand Teton, all that. They park their bus in campgrounds along the way at night and have a goal of ending up on a beach in California somewhere, sometime this fall. Here we go. We take turns driving, and if fall, how long is it going to take them to get there? They're like there anyway. All right. We're taking turns driving, and we're going downhill. We have a good tailwind. We could hit 63 miles an hour. Yeah, because it's an old school bus, right? They're not known for breaking the speed limit. She and her, the father's probably put like a governor on the motor and won't go past 63. You can see that. She and her bus mate said that they don't want anyone to get the impression that their road trip is some kind of revenge tour. But what this guy did to us doesn't define our lives. We all really feel, see, but it does, because they're in the paper because of it. The Post wouldn't have cared if they all didn't ride the carousel with the same dude. They wouldn't have cared. They would just be three, even if there were three chicks getting a bus and driving down the road. It makes it interesting because of the guy. The guy defines the story. The guy defines them. He is what brought them together. You see? Which is really funny. We all feel really blessed that we found each other. We're friends. We're friends for life. Then they should send him a thank you card. I think, you know, it's just interesting how I see the way the Post is trying to play it and push the story, you know. And it's just funny to me how these, like a lot of young women consider themselves victims, even though nothing may have ever happened to them. You know what I mean? Being some 19-year-old with some 21-year-old dude dating other girls, you know, you're not a victim. You know, it's not victimhood. You know, he didn't do anything to you. He didn't, destroy your life or anything. It's like ridiculous that they play that drama card. It's so heavy duty. Oh my God, we were sharing our PTSD together. So yeah, learn your lesson with people. They're all about themselves a lot of the times. And when it shows, the story actually has a broader point to me. It shows how, not just how these women can like see themselves and how they vilify the guy too, right? Like you said, there's two sides to every story. Two sides to every story. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff going on there. But he's a young, horny guy, right? When I was growing up, people watch Star Trek, man. Captain Kirk was boinking his way through the universe with everything that there was. It wasn't like, oh, I've got to be solely there for you. Or, you know, yeah, you meet someone right away and you got to get engaged and get married. For what? For what? If you fall in love, you want to have kids and whatever. How long does that last these days? Average marriage, maybe 8 to 10 years, maybe 12 years the most. You know, if you're in a relationship longer than that, There's either you suffered that length of time or whatever, man. It very few, very seldom, very few and far between do you have people out there, unfortunately, that have these dreamy relationships, you know. I know a few, or they at least tolerate each other, or they're so deep into it, they're not going to go anywhere, you know. But it just is what it is. And you have to be accountable for yourself. And, you know, if someone, come on. It's one thing if you know the person's life, you are either living together or living near each other and you see each other every day, you have dinner with each other, then you know more about them. Obviously, these girls didn't know much about this guy. And they start looking at his wide open social media where anybody can see what's going on and find these other girls. It wasn't like he was Mr. Super Sleuth trying to hide things, right? He's 21-year-old college student is exactly what I would expect to find. I don't expect to find a middle-aged man in college boinking girls, even though they go and they try. The old guy at the club, you know? You don't want to be the old guy at the club, right? You got to have some kind of dignity. I have a friend now. He's 70 years old, 70, and he's looking for a woman, man. You know, he looking for a woman, not woman, man, but looking for a woman, man. And he's going through all the apps and trying to use his stuff. And then, you know, he puts right in his ad that he wants to find someone to eventually live with and share expenses. I'm like, you're not going to find a woman like that. Are you crazy? Share expenses? You're going to lose him. You're going to lose him right there. You got to say, I got, you know, like a wallet so fat it choke a dinosaur. Ah, that's when they come out of the woodwork, man. Yeah, I'm saying the wrong thing. I'm painting women as gold digging. There are gold diggers out there, male and female. More female than male, obviously, because there for a long time, men made more money and blah, 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 blah. You know, plus, let's face it. Look at these older men who have the big bucks. I mean, do you think these young, beautiful women would be with him if they didn't have the money? You think Donald Trump would have Melania, even though I still am sure that 99% sure that she's a cyborg of some sort, you know? But do you think Melania would be with Donald Trump if he was Donnie the Carpenter or Donnie the Garbage Man or Donnie the guy who works at 7-Eleven? Of course not. You know, she is like an ATM machine. You know what I mean? And a lot of them are, man. And they want what they want. And until they lift, you know, monkey branch up to that point, it's hypergamy. Bigger and better, going up and up and up and up. And they get to a certain point where they're comfortable. And that lasts for a little while. Maybe they have a couple of kids and then it goes on again. This is very common now. And then you have a government that's happy to support women that have children that they can't afford to have. And then, you know, you kind of, it's kind of a catch-22. What do? You can't say no, you know, but you don't have to encourage it either, you know. And there's just so much, man, that needs to be accomplished when it comes to people and then their relationships. Then you have other sources getting in the way. Like that Miss Cleo from back in the day. You remember that stuff? Miss Cleo, the psychic. On TV, these commercials, she'd be like, "Hey, I'm Miss Cleo. Call me. I'll tell you your future." Oh, she, you know, have a girl on there. Your boyfriend's cheating on you right now. And she's like, "Ah, I'm going to kill him when he gets home." Ah, this woman got sued by thousands and thousands of people that they gave erroneous information about the guy's cheating and destroyed people's relationships. People that got attacked violently, and she was a big fraudster to begin with. So just kind of funny how all that ended up, you know, and how stupid people are, how stupid people can be. Not everybody, but a lot of them, man. And those are the ones you want to steer clear of, especially if you see three of them riding around in a bus up there somewhere in the Northwest. Who can't find the ocean for 3 months? You can bicycle there in a couple days, 3 months. Anyway, this story got me. I like it because for a long time, there was an imbalance between men and women in pay, right? You know, where men got paid more than women, and now things are equaling out. In some cases, women get paid more than men now, you know, it depends, you know. So this is something that's happening. And then they, you know, women try to kind of revert, saying, "Oh, well, if a guy takes me out, he's got to pay," you know, and then now there's a gray area. And a lot of people, you know, younger people will say they'll go Dutch treat, you know, even the Dutch are trying to sue to get that change, but basically you pay for yourself, right? But there's a lot of people out there that take issue with that. So here we go. My girlfriend makes twice what I earn. I reluctantly paid the $200 dinner check for her first promotion. She just got another one. Should I pay again? This is an interesting question to a business Financial Times. A couple of years ago, my girlfriend received a promotion to a management position. We both agreed that we should go out and celebrate her achievement. She has worked hard and sacrificed a lot to get the title change and pay increase. She is very pro-women in the workplace and supports equal pay. I am for equality as well. A little backstory. Her total income was about 2 times the amount I make. I have no problem that she makes more than me. We have different jobs. She lives at my house. We split everything about 55-45. The majority of living expenses are my responsibility. So we celebrate and have a great time. We have drinks, food, and dessert. A few hours go by and a $200 check arrives. Now, my question is, you took her to McDonald's? Because $200 is nothing for a celebration. When you go out to, like, restaurants are expensive. You go out, you have some good stuff, some champagne, a little of this. You're talking about $400 or $500. Anyway, that's my critique on this $200. But yeah, so here he is paying 55% of living expenses, but she makes twice as what he makes, yeah, and lives there in a house with him, right? And he pays the check. He says, "I am a nurse. And my rewards are when my patients go home." So even better, he's a nurse, but even worse, a male nurse is somebody who gets tortured in their workplace, man. I know some male nurses, and they have a very hard time in their job because they get mistreated by the other nurses who are females. They get looked down upon and whatever. It's crazy because they're doing the same job, right? Although when you go in, you get blood taken, whatever, you want that male nurse. Isn't that funny how that works? Me, I don't care. I want the bitchiest nurse because they're the ones who I'll be attracted to, number one. You know, they're the ones who get stuff done. They're the ones who get stuff done, right? I know a lot of nurses. Nurses work very hard, and they go through a lot of stuff. That's why they get a little uppity, man. So, and they don't quite get the support. You know, doctors don't do all that much, if you think about it. They kind of bobblehead around and come in and see you for 3 seconds and tell you you're fat and you just lose some weight, and then they send the nurse back in, make you sign all the forms, right? They just want you to pay. That's kind of how it goes. Okay, so the dude says, usually we split the cost of dining 50-50, although this time she felt I should pay because we were celebrating her achievement. I ended up paying. A couple of years later, she has received another promotion to director with a pay increase. With her promotions, we spend less time together. I end up taking on more responsibilities at home. She feels the same way about this second promotion. I should be the one paying for the celebration. I don't feel like I should pay. I have never cared enough to go out to celebrate any of my work life. It is not important to me. But you see, there are people out there who need to celebrate themselves and what they do. It's okay to celebrate. It's okay to party. But it's you got to be careful and keep your ego in check, man. You know, the Buddha said, F your ego. You get it? F your ego, man. I had to clean it up for FM radio. FM radio. But this person says it's not important to them because their life is the reward of helping people. The other one, no. So it's like that. Now, if you don't share things 50-50 and you share a home with somebody else, that other person is going to feel slighted. You know, even if you're in a business relationship, if you're doing more work than the other person, and then you're the one paying for stuff or you're paying for the bulk of it, that person's going to feel slighted, right? So, like the person says, now again, they reiterate, I am a nurse and my reward is when my patients go home. Isn't that funny? Like they have to keep saying that, you know, because that's kind of their statement. That's their, how they define themselves. Even though you should never define yourself in your job, you are what you do. But what this person does isn't just their job, right? But they do like to help people. So should I be the one paying for the night out to celebrate? Or should she take her to a strip bar? Get good coffee there? So here's the answer from this. Dear, they saw their name is Reluctant. Dear Reluctant, even Reluctant, you know that person is going to simp out. You know what I mean? Like, it's just life, man. You know what I mean? If you're saying that, you know, should I do this? Should I do this? You should already know. You shouldn't even be writing. I shouldn't even be reading this on the air. You shouldn't be writing this. You should say, I'm not paying for that. You want to celebrate? I'll go with you. I'm not paying for it. You know, I'll pay for part of it. I'll pay for I'll pay for the drink that I have. How's that? We, all of us, And I'm not a monster. I've taken girls out to celebrate for things, and I've gone out with people. And then, you know, I was in a relationship for 14 years with two kids, man, that I raised, and we celebrate all kinds of stuff, you know, birthdays, this and whatever. And the kids had lots of friends and they came over. We celebrate. Yeah, I get it. You know, as for promotions, oh, whenever I achieved anything, nobody gave a crap. I get that too. You know, so, all right. This is the answer for the dude. We, all of us, live in a toxic culture where we must acknowledge and dismantle unconscious bias. But I'm going to level with you. Of course, we would be pro-women in the workplace and support equality of both pay and conditions. There is a long way to go to ensure there is parity for both pay and career advancement. Your reluctance to celebrate her achievements because you don't celebrate your own work achievements makes me wonder if you're less comfortable with her professional and material success than you say or even realize. Oh! So this person writing is obviously female, who just kicked this guy in the nuts squarely, put on some really pointy cockroach stompers and kicked this guy right in his nuts, saying, I'm going to minimize what you feel. It means nothing. I'm going to take all this away, all the stuff that you just said. I'm going to put it in a zero file. It means nothing. It means you're a jerk who doesn't want to take your woman out to celebrate her womanhood and her advancements, even though she makes a load of more money than you do. Isn't that funny? I want to read that sentence again. Are you guys listening to this? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your reluctance to celebrate her achievements because you don't celebrate your own work. So you're selfish. You're narcissistic. Your own work achievements makes me wonder if you are less comfortable with her professional or material. So you're a fat, raging, male chauvinist, toxic pig. You suck. That's what this person's saying. Right? That's what this person's saying to this dude. You just dismissed everything the guy said. You know, when you saw that $200 check, did you even for a moment reflect on your own different salaries? I think he did. I think that he saw the $200 check and was like, I don't know how much I have in the bank. It's about numbers. It's about money. Oh, I only have so much in the bank because I'm paying most of the bills in the house. Oh, yeah, I got to celebrate her womanhood by paying for everything. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. For women in the workplace who are making more money, they need to celebrate that by being the responsible people that they are and pay for stuff, right? There's no free ride. No free ride. So you're in a relationship with someone, that person, because of their gender, should pay more than you. Because of their gender? Or you just want to make all the men in the world suffer because women had suffered for a time, you know? Oh, come on, man. Really? Really? Here we go. Your girlfriend wants... I want to reach out to this dude and tell him that my version of it... I have my own version. Your girlfriend wants to celebrate something that is important to her. It doesn't matter whether a promotion is something that is important to you. No, it matters that he's paying for it. Right? It matters that he's paying for it. She has worked very hard for this achievement at work, and as you have noted yourself, and yet she made sacrifices in her personal life to make this happen. So, see, that's how the tables get turned. Oh, she made sacrifices to achieve this high position and make the money, so she's doing less around the house and paying for less bills, and she's there less and whatever. Really? Is that sacrifices? Is that her personal endeavor? A sacrifice is something that you have to do for something else, or something that you need to do for something else that is more important. This isn't a sacrifice. This is this woman climbing the corporate ladder. This is what women have, you know, the pro-women's movement, you know, the feminist movement. This is what they have been all about for how many years? All about. Is climbing the ladder and being successful. Do you know that 84% of all women who work in the United States say they're unhappy with their work life, unhappy with their jobs, and they'd rather be home raising children. 84% of women say that. And then you're going to say that, you know, they don't have rights or, you know, whatever. And when, I mean, granted, for a long time, women in the workplace were put down and shoved aside or just used, you know. I mean, all kinds of stuff. I mean, as if you're an educated person, you know all these things, but not now. Things have changed dramatically. And now people are climbing for these goals, and they're reaching these goals too. You know, this woman climbed the ladder. It was no sacrifice. You know, she's not sacrificing anything. The whole point is she wants to do to pay. That's the whole point. And this woman who's writing this, and I can tell it is one, is mad because you should pay for everything, right? I have a friend who went through this. He got married, right? And he had paid for everything before the marriage, and he had paid for everything after the marriage. And it became a huge sickling point. They both made exactly the same money. They both worked in the same company, same job, same money. And she spent her money on other things. She eventually spent her money on seeing a guy that she used to see and giving him money. She even gave some of her husband's money to the guy. So, yeah. So that didn't work out well for them either. So, all right. So we'll continue with what this woman's writing. The fact that her increasing seniority means she sometimes spends more time at the office should not tip the scale as to whether you believe you should celebrate her achievement and or pay for dinner. You see, like, this person misses the point completely. Misses everything this guy said. Probably just saw red right from the beginning and already formed their opinion before they got along in what the guy was saying. And I'm sure what he wrote was much longer than what they printed here. So you don't want to celebrate her success, you pig. And now you don't want to pay for it, bastard. This is a form of protest on your behalf. You're protesting her female success. This is what she wrote for real, right? Taking such a stance poisons the well of your relationship, and dipping into your wallet reluctantly robs the gesture of all goodwill. It gives your girlfriend the message that her achievements are not important to you. So this is funny how this person is psychologically breaking these people down. And I do it to a degree too, but I do it better. You know, it comes out better out of my mouth. When I'm just seeing it from an outside point of view, I don't take issue with either side, but I hear what the guy is saying. And this answer is just so toxic and full of anger. You can just tell that this person has got baggage that would fill warehouses, right? So the nursing profession was once occupied exclusively by women, and like teachers and many other service industry jobs, is still a vastly underpaid occupation. Your career requires a significant amount of medical expertise, physical labor, stamina, compassion, patience, and emotional intelligence, among other attributes. Harness those same qualities. So now this person is shit-shaming this dude. That's called shaming right there. You do all these things. These are the things you're proud of. So apply that to your miserable relationship, you freaking loser, for the woman in your life who's climbing the ladder. Doesn't matter if she craps on your head. Support her. Pay for dinner. So he's a hero if he pays for dinner and doesn't say a word or doesn't voice his concerns or doesn't talk about his emotions, right? All right. So listen. Harness those same qualities, gifts, and skills at home. We all need to feel valued and appreciated and feel like we're seen from time to time. Apparently not this dude, though. Apparently not. It's not good enough for this guy. For some people, it's breakfast in bed or a meal. Yeah, bring her breakfast in bed. Why don't you have servitude? Give her a massage. Do her nails, you know? Why not? You carry her around the house, man. For others, it's a weekend away, a birthday, or in your case, a promotion at work. It doesn't happen every day. Pay for the meal. That's what this is. Pay for the meal. But obviously, what this person expressed was way more than just a meal. All right. You should be her number one fan, and she should be yours. See, but this person doesn't believe that. because they expect servitude, utility. They want the guy to be the utility, the servant. And then as soon as that servitude is over, or as soon as they can monkey branch up to a better utility, they do it. They do it. And that's life. And you know, that's why you take the red pill and you understand how people are and you use it like a tool. And then you seek out not people who are like this, you know, not the toxic ones, but people who are going to join you in the adventure of life. It's not the destination. It's the journey, right? Isn't that it? So this woman said, if money is tight, you could anticipate her next job or promotion, assuming she's getting one, by cooking her a meal at home with a bottle of champagne and bunting and say, I'm so proud of you. Yeah, I that woman's going to deal with that. Wrong answer. Who is this? Who is this person? They don't have a name. They don't list their. They're not proud to list their name on such a an interesting thing. So anyway. This is the deal. Don't worry, be happy. Was a number one jam. Damn, if I'm happy, you can slap me right here. You see, that's some Public Enemy right there. That's the deal. Is about seeking out your own happiness. Watching out for the people out there who would see you're unhappy. The toxic people, the people who are just going to, you know, toxically use you as a utility to do what they're bidding and then move on. Last night, I had a dream I was dating the Queen of England, man. I swear to God. And I'm like, I don't even know. I don't even know where to start. What's wrong with that? And she had all this Secret Service type of people around. She was funny, though. She had, talk about a May-December romance. She had a sense of humor about herself. But I was looking at her like, no, I ain't doing that. So I don't know why I dreamed it. My dreams are screwed up. Usually my dreams come true, which is scary enough. Night before last, I dreamt about some volcano in the United States that blew up and it was like really bad. So yeah, volcano, Queen of England, you don't want my life. So this is how I could be mental enough to decipher all of this verbal diarrhea that people lay out there, man, you know, because there's a lot of it. There's a lot of it. And if you open yourself up to it, there's going to be more of it. You have to be your own advocate. You've got to be your own hero. You have to understand that there are people out there that are going to be haters no matter what. The better you're doing, a lot of them are going to hate you even more. So listen to your fans. Don't listen to your critics, man. Go out there and just show people love. They want to be nasty. You know what Lao Tzu said? He said, reward bitterness with kindness, right? But understand where you are with people. You're not going to change them, all right? I'll see you guys next week on Red Pill News, United Public Radio Network, UPRN, TalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104% of Pat Chris Beyond. Bah! I'll see you guys next week. Bye.